come in to leave a quick recap of what happened last week for those who have missed it, and to even remind those who were there last week.
Well, viewers all over the world, welcome again to Exposé, where we've been unveiling the heart of the Father, and we've been looking at this series, the Prodigal Father series, and we've been actually looking at the journey of the younger son to see how he was able to come into the revelation of who the Father is. And let's not look at it was the goodness of the Father, because he actually thought about the fact that my Father is so good that even his hired servant had to eat and he had enough to spare. And we did say that according to the scriptures, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So a good ministry will not just show how angry God can be, it would show how good God can be. And that's it.
If I remember perfectly well, I remember last week, again, before just positioning the Father, there was an aspect of the positioning too, that the younger son said, I sin only against the Father, I sin. You know, I think there were two things about the Father positioning. Mm.
Yeah, that's one thing we did say last week, that it seems that a lot of people have a very strange notion about what is sin. What sin is, because when we talk about sin, most people think about things that we do wrong. And what we established in the Prodigal Father series last week is in the book of Luke chapter 15, that when the younger son was on his way back home to the father, he did say, I have sinned against the father. So sin is not about things. Sin is about a person. Because to the younger son, all what he did wasn't just about the things that he did, it was about the fact that he was using those things to gain. So in verse 18, today by the grace of God, we're going to make progress with this. Now let's go on to the discourse in the mind of the younger son. Look at verse 19. Now, Luke chapter 15, verse 19. Now, I want you to follow this. And it says in verse 19, this is a commentary that the younger son had in his mind on his way back home. He said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he got up and went to his father. Now, look at this. Look at what sin did in the life of this younger son. The problem with living riotously and living lasciviously that happened to him wasn't just about him or his thoughts about himself. It was about the thought he had about the Father. Now, watch what he said about the Father. He's saying in his mind, I will tell my Father to make me. Now, he is trying to manipulate what the Father would do to him. You see, that's what sin does. Sin doesn't just change our mind about ourselves. It changes our mind about the Father. Mm. That is why the scripture says, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. Because it changes how we see the Father. Now, see, have you noticed in this parable of the prodigal father, have you noticed that Jesus was silent in this parable about the reaction of the father to what the son did when the son left home? This parable was silent. We didn't even know what the father was thinking. We didn't even know if the father changed his mindset about the younger son. We didn't even know if the father had a change of plan about the younger son. The scriptures, the parable was silent about that. And why? Because if God wanted us to see in this parable the constancy, the consistency, the unchanging nature of how the father views us. Hmm. And that's why the Bible was silent about the reaction of the father. But the younger son in this parable said, I will say to my father, change your mind about how you see me. Hmm. This is what sin does to humanity. It tries to make us change, not just our thoughts, but how we want the father to treat us.
So
he had a commentary. I mean, he was running commentary in his mind. And he said, I will tell the father to change his mind about me. Hmm. And you see, this is what we need to know about this Prodigal Father series. We need to understand the context of this parable, because we've been saying this for the past few. What was the context of this parable? If you look at Luke chapter 15 from verse 1, we need to know why this parable came into being in the first place.
Yeah.
What was the motivation that Jesus had when he gave this parable? What made Jesus to actually speak this parable? We need to know the context. Now, look at Luke 15 from verse 1. Look at what actually evoked this parable from Jesus. It says in Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them a parable. Now, viewers, why did Jesus tell them a parable in Luke 15, in verse 2? Simple put, verse 1 tells us the reason. Because some people said about Jesus, the Pharisees, why is he accepting sinners and why is he eating with them? And that was the reason Jesus spoke the parable. So it means Jesus was saying, if you're wondering or if you're bothered that I'm accepting sinners and eating with them, I will tell you a parable to explain why I'm accepting sinners, why I'm not striking them dead, or why the publicans are not running away from me. I will tell you a parable. So, what was the point of the parable? The point of the parable of the prodigal father, or whatever you call it, is to redefine how God sees men. The publicans, the sinners, how God sees them. It was a kind of redefinition of the father's view. And that is why, in this verse 19, the younger son said, "I wish my father can change his mind about how he sees me." I don't know. You see, this is why the scriptures warns us of creating God in our image. You know, in Exodus, it warns the Israelites. It said, don't liken God to any form, any image, not what you can see in the heavens or what you can see on the earth. God says, don't do it, because there's something about humanity. We always try to carve God. We always try to recreate God into our image, what we think God should look like to us. And that's why the younger son in verse 19 says, when I'm going back home now, I know I've done something evil. I have wasted my father's resources. I have become lascivious. So on my way home, I will try to convince my father to change his nature. So that's why he said, I will tell him, make me like one of the hired servants.
He's making another image of the father.
I will try to recreate the father. Because I will try to recreate an image. So he's trying to say, I will tell the father how to treat me. And this is the whole point of the parable of Jesus. That humans have become expertise in recreating the kind of God they want to see. The kind of God they want to worship. The kind of God they want to be with. And that's what he said in his mind. I will tell him how to treat me. I will tell the father to treat me like a servant.
That's the new age idolatry, manipulating the father.
Recreating God into the kind of version of God that we think makes sense. And that is why, as we said, the quality of our Christian life is all going to boil down to the revelation of the Father that we have. And if you were with us on this episode last Saturday, we made a point about the man that actually did get the one talent. The man that was unproductive with the one talent, that in the parable of Jesus, what he said? He said, I know you are a hard tax master, and I know that you want to reap what you didn't sow. And we know the reason why he was unproductive with the one talent was how he viewed the master. So you cannot go far in your Christian journey beyond the revelation of the father that you have. So the fact is, the younger son in Luke 15 verse 19 was going back home. And as he was going back home, he had at the back of his mind that I'm going to recreate the father. I'm going to tell the father how to treat me. And this is what this is not just about a younger son. This is about humanity. And you see, there's a picture of the father we need to have. This father who doesn't change like shifting shadows. This God who actually doesn't change like shifting shadows. And that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we live for and that we live by.
Because I just hope our viewers will be able to see the scriptural sense in this parable. Surely knowing the consistency, like the point you brought up, knowing the consistency of the father's nature this father disposition towards this younger son is just, it remains unchanged.
The true nature of the father. You see, when I looked at this parable of Luke 15, I begin to wonder. The reason, again, I said the other time, why Jesus had to speak the parable. Because up to that time, Israel, the Pharisees, the publicans, had an idea of who the father was or who the father is. And Jesus' parable was going to redefine who the father was. And you know why I did that? Because they were wondering why he was accepting publicans and sinners. And that is what we see in verse 19. Now, let's make progress with this. It says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he says, make me like one of your hired servants. And verse 20 says, so he got up and went to his father. And then the next verse says, but while he was still a long way off. Now,
before you even go there, I'm really bothered about this younger son. As in, why would he want to? Was he not leaving it to his father? Why does he want to make the father, manipulate the father to stink?
You mean why would he want to?
Yes, say that. Why would he
recreate the kind of father he was expecting to meet him when he gets back home?
Well, yes. Why would he go all the length?
Now, there's something about humans, about people. It's called the spirit of religion. Mm. You see, what religion always does, and what religion will always do, is to recreate God in his own image. Mm. That's religion. You see, that's why the younger son was going to say, how can you think you can tell the father how to treat you? He said, I will tell the father.
To met out the punishment that I feel like he's serving.
He said, I will tell the father.
What to do?
To make me like a hired servant. I will tell the father what to do. So religion has its own idea about what God and who God should be. And religion will always recreate a God that they find convenient to live with. And that's why the younger son on his way back home was going to say, I'm going to tell the father how to treat me.
And he felt that would satisfy justice.
And that's it. And that was the notion he had at the back of his mind when he was going back home. And he was really surprised about what happened.
And that's why some people will say they don't want to take the perfect sacrifice of Christ.
The
sacrifice, his blood, they said they are going to make their own way.
Yeah.
They are going to do this. I'm going to do this rules. I'm going to follow this. So let him, just like the same similar statement that the younger son is making.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, don't do, make me.
Yeah, make me. Make me like one of your hired servants. I'll tell you how to
treat
me. I'm not
going to take your perfect gift. I'm not going to take all your perfect justice. I'm not going to take all your grace. But yes, I'm going to give you this. I feel like, okay, this. I'll give you the rules that I'm going to follow.
Mm.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to inconvenience myself. I'm going to do this extra. I'm going to stay away from this. And I feel like you satisfy you.
Mm. Mm. I mean, you're making a very good point there. Because this parable is just showing us expressly that this father is constant in his affection. It's just a constant father. And there's something I want us to look at. I mean, viewers, I want us to see, there's a scripture that always, always baffles my mind if I think about it. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13.
Okay.
Now, it's a scripture that if you meditate on it, it tells you about the kind of father that Jesus was presenting in this parable of the prodigal father. I mean, look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. Now, it says, it doesn't matter what version you're reading. It gives you the same kind of word. It said, if we are faithless.
Mm.
Now, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? It said, because he cannot deny himself. Because God will not deny his nature. God will not deny who he is. He will not deny his person. So it means the reason why God is good is about himself. It's about who God is, about his nature. So the reason why the father in this parable of Luke 15, the reason why this father is good, the reason why this father is not changing, the reason why this father is not reactive, I like that word reactive. Mm. Because the kind of notion that we have of the father is a reactive father. Mm. The father of light, the father of spirits, the God of all grace, he is an active, not a reactive God. It means he is good because of himself. It says the reason, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, the reason why he is good is because he cannot deny himself. I'm not sure if we do grab that. The reason why he is good, it says in 2 Timothy 2:13, is because he cannot deny himself. So the scripture is saying, for God to become unfaithful towards us, or for God not to become consistent in his love towards us, God has to deny himself. So it is not about you. It's got nothing to do with me. It's about who God is. And see, the younger son didn't actually grab this understanding. He thought it would be about him, about what he has done. But the father is good because of the father. The father is good because of his nature. The father is good because he cannot deny himself. And that's what 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us. A God who is constant, unchanging, and unfading.
What I'm finding so amusing in this story is, in this younger son today, I'm able to see the spirit of religion.
Yeah.
Yes, he was trying to...
To pay the price.
He doesn't want to accept what the father is ready, is willing, is ready to offer. What is always on the table is you have the acceptance at all times. You're accepted in the beloved. You're accepted. You're accepted as a son. That's on the table. That was the offer on the table all along, all in the house. The offer on the table, you're accepted in the son. But if somebody coming in with the spirit of religion, I'm drafting my home that I feel like it's appropriate. So you see some people, that's why they lay some other bodies or something, drafting what they feel is appropriate, not what is on the table. So despising what the father is giving. I'm feeling like, oh, the father is not, he's not wise enough, he's not good enough, he's not straight enough. Everything, we see fighting against the offer of the father. You see it in different ways. You can see the other father say, oh, the father is too lenient, he's too gracious. There's a fighting against the offer. The offer is either somebody feeling it's too good to be true, or some feeling, I know, I need to do more. That is the thing.
I need to recreate the father in the kind of way that I think is sensible, in the kind of way that I think is rational. Now, viewers, there's one key point we have made today, if you're on this episode. We've made the point that there's something about humanity. We try to recreate God in our image. We try to redefine God the way we want God to be. And we see the younger son making the same attempt. He said, I will go back to my father and I will tell my father how my father should treat me. Now, see, this is a revelation of the father. We have to accept the father that was revealed through Jesus Christ of his unchanging nature, of his consistent, of his faithful nature. And we have to agree with the scriptures in 2 Timothy 2:13 that the reason why the father is faithful is because he cannot deny himself. So, it's about his nature. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with me. It's about his nature. So it means if the father is not faithful to the covenant he has with you, it means he will deny himself. And that cannot happen. He said because he cannot deny himself, he will remain faithful. Now, watch this. He said, even if we are faithless. So it means all the time the younger son became faithless and he followed his own path that he drew for himself. The father never changed, not one second. Our God is not reactive. Our God is active. We serve an active God who does things because of himself and not because of us, because of his nature. And this is, we need to have this hope secured, unchanging. We see it's an anchor. That's it. That's Hebrews 6 says, this is an anchor for the soul. You see, for most of us, our anchor doesn't hold strong in the midst of the wind and the storm. We need an anchor. Something that holds strong, no matter the wind, no matter the storm, no matter the challenges, this thing holds firm. We have this hope that goes beyond the veil. And that's what the Bible says. And this is the hope. The anchor that we have in an unchanging, faithful, ever consistent, ever loving God who does everything because of himself and in spite of us and not because of us. And that's it.
Personally, I would like to close with this. I would like to encourage our viewers. I don't know whichever journey, this part of journey you are in, just like the younger son and telling the father how he should treat you. Because some people are rejecting the offer of his divine aid. They're rejecting the offer of salvation, I would say. No, they're rejecting the offer of sonship. He called you to son. I said, no, I just want to be an higher servant. I want to be an hireling. Treat me like an hireling. people are coming like that, treat me like an hireling. I don't want to take this offer. The offer is too big, it's too good or something. Fighting the offer. So I just want to encourage you that no, just is the offer is on the table, just take it as it is. Take the father as it is. Stop fighting. Stop fighting the free offer. So stop fighting all that he has got to offer, all of his benefits. So don't come and be saying, no, he has called you as his son. So don't settle for anything else.
In fact, there's something that comes to mind for some. I mean, at times as Christians, we get to a point in our lives when we have some experiences, unpleasant experiences, negative experiences, and at times at the back of our mind we think, well, I think I deserve this anyway from the Father. I deserve this negative experience because at least in the past, I've not been as good as I should be. Or in the past, I failed God anyway in this way or that way. So I think me having some negative experiences in my life, I think it's worth it. I think this is just my way of paying the price for the bad things I've done. You see that kind of stuff. Now, listen, we're not simply saying that there are no consequences for doing the wrong thing. There are consequences for doing the wrong thing. The younger son, on his journey of self-discovery, he paid the price. Why? The Bible says that he began to be in want. He had scarcity. He began to eat with the pigs. No man gave him anything. You pay the price for making wrong choices. But the price you're paying is not because the Father is punishing you. How do you know that? Because we saw in this parable, Jesus was representing the Father to humanity. That everything that happened to the younger son had nothing to do with the Father. The price he paid, the negative consequences, was because of the wrong choices. But the Father was ever waiting, ever loving, ever consistent, ever faithful. So there was no point trying to recreate God in his image when he was thinking, I will make the Father to do something else. I will change my Father. So this is what we need to know about up to this verse 19 that we've got into on this prodigal father series.
So I think that's the last word for our viewers today. Yeah. I want to take that as the last word for them.
Yeah.
So till next week, we'll see you the same time. In case you're having a problem with any of the connection, maybe from the Exposé page, you can join our individual Facebook page or something, or come back when we repost the episode. We do hope to work on these things and it gets better with the next episode. So till next time, we'll see you. Don't go and make any image.
Don't recreate. Don't recreate God in your own version. Don't recreate God in your own image. He is good and is ever faithful because of himself. God bless you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.